Okay, this is an interview taken on Wednesday morning, March the 19th, 2003, at the home of Julius Loewenberg on 222 Frontera Lane in El Paso.
Hermosa.
Hermosa Lane. Hermosa, yes. Lane. What did I say? Frontera. I'm sorry. Hermosa Lane, yes. And the interviewer is Richard Baquera, and this interview is for the Bracero Oral History Project. So if you would just please start off with your name.
Julius Loewenberg.
And your birthday?
Birthday, April 15th, 1934.
Okay, were you born
in El Paso, Texas? Have lived here all my life.
Okay, and family?
Married Irene Villalobos, have six children, 13 grandchildren.
How about brothers and sisters?
One brother, Carlos, who's a football coach here in El Paso.
Oh, okay, I've heard of him, yes. Certainly.
And went to St. Patrick's Grade School, Cathedral High School, and then Texas Western. I was a high school football coach for about 20 years. And then left that and became a remodeling contractor. And that's what I'm doing
now. Okay. So when was it that you were involved in the...
Oh, we were just talking about that. I guess it was 1954. 55, right in that, because I started at college at Texas Western in 1956. So it was that I left the public health service, and I went to work. Okay. That's when I went to school. And my wife went to work, so I could go to school.
So after you went to Cathedral High School, and after high school, you
we were married. Worked for the Southern Pacific Railroad.
Oh, okay.
And then I worked for Fur Foods first. That was my first job. And then I went to work for Southern Pacific Railroad as a machinist apprentice. And then when they went to the diesels from the steam, mm-hmm. Southern Pacific almost shut down here in El Paso. It really, really hurt the economy. And I was off for a little while, and I got the job with the public health service here in the bridges down here downtown.
And how was it that you, what were the qualifications, how was it that you got there?
I went and applied. That was it. I don't know. I don't remember what qualification. I remember we took a civil service test.
An exam.
And if I remember, the public health service merged later on. We were a completely separate entity on the bridge. And I think they were the ones, and you can probably do some research on it. I think they're the ones that merged into the customs.
Okay.
They became the customs inspectors.
Later on. What was it that you did?
I checked. I got to work in the X-ray. Why they picked me? There was two or three of us where they put us on the X-ray machines, and we would X-ray anybody that was coming to get a green card or any kind of a card to come over to the United States from Mexico, and it was mainly for TB.
I see. This was at the downtown bridge. What's
bridge.
Now the Paso del Norte, is it?
Let's see. We worked on, which is the one coming? The one on
Santa
Chamizal
Fe.
Wasn't there, of
no.
course. So it was, the Santa Fe bridge.
Santa Fe bridge.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And how long did you do that?
I guess I did that for approximately 2 years. But during that time, as I say, when the Bracero program, when the summertime came, or when they started bringing the Braceros in, then they would take us, some of us, to Rio Vista.
To Rio Vista.
Uh-huh. And we'd work all kinds of shifts because it depended on when the Braceros came in. We would sometimes, some of us would meet them there on the, when the train, they used to bring them in trains.
This would be to Juarez?
To Juarez. And then bring them across here, and then we would take them in buses. But they were pretty bad shape coming across it because they had them in cattle cars. They weren't in third class. They didn't have. Cattle cars.
This would be a several hour trip, isn't it?
Oh yeah. It really depends on where they came from. You know, we had. I remember one time we had a bunch of them came in and we had never seen. They were all from Yucatan.
Oh.
And they're all short, and they all had all white. You know, you've seen them.
Yes, and like the peón.
Uh-huh, and the different sombrero, it's not the same. It's sort of a little rounder.
Right.
And so they must have come, you know, can you imagine those poor people? But the first thing they would do there, they would spray them for lice.
With what? Do you remember?
I don't remember. It was a white powder. Okay. It's just they take their clothes off and you'd spray them all like that. They put them and they'd take them back and then they'd.
This would be at the bridge
at
here?
At the bridge, uh-huh.
And then from there they would be taken?
They'd be taken to over here up to Rio Vista. And then they were, you know, they were showered and they were able to take a shower. Probably the first shower they've had in quite a long time. Yeah.
I see. And when they would, what was the reason they would send you to the Rio Vista? Was it because they needed
to? No, then we would take them to Rio Vista. There they would take, that's where we had the doctors. Right. And this particular doctor, the one I remember very well, was Dr. Gunn. And at the time, I was the only one that could speak Spanish. That's why this other doctor that you mentioned, I don't remember. And the only reason I know I was the only one, because I was the one that had to give the braceros the bad news that we were sending them back, if we send them back. What we would do, and then we would give them, a quick exam, but the main thing was a x-ray. And we just, we brought them in and out and stood them up and x-rayed them. And then we had a little flip chart. The x-rays were small. And we would flip. And anytime we'd see anything out of the ordinary, we'd pull it out and give it to the doctors. And they'd look at it. And we found, you know, of course, a lot of TB was found at that time. But we found, I remember, knives. A guy had a knife.
Embedded
in bullets. I mean, you know, all kinds of things. The guy didn't even know he had a bullet in him. He didn't know they even had the knife in him. You know, some little kid or something, they just broke it off.
There was a particular place there at the Rio Vista, right, where a particular hut, is it, or a building where this was done?
Yes, it was like an infirmary, I guess, or a little hospital. Not a hospital, but a little medical. Right. We had the x-ray machines there. They had their bunks and, you know, all over the place. But we'd get them in at times 2,000 and 3,000 and 4,000 come in here at a time. We'd just be x-raying. I remember so vividly that they had, you know, we had them take their shirts off and then you had them stand like this against the x-ray machine. They stood up. Those old x-ray machines.
How would you describe that?
Arms
on the way, side?
Yeah, on the side like this, and their chest against and their chin like this, to throw this so they could see. Right. And we would have to push them a little bit because some wouldn't understand, so all night long. And I remember getting through a shift, and your hands were just black. I mean, black from the poor guys that, you know, hadn't.
From
there. And you'd go in there and wash, and then you'd get alcohol because you were.
Was there ever any... Did they understand what was going to be done to them?
Yes,
They didn't have any resistance to being x-rayed.
They were just, I mean, and when we'd have to tell a guy that he had to go back home, you know, God, you just see the poor guy would, you know, almost cry. Well, a lot of them would cry because that was their livelihood.
Sure, that's why.
They sent all that money. That money was a lot of money going back to Mexico at that time.
How many other people were there doing the same thing?
Oh, gosh, it was probably, trying to think of the guys that I'm Jesse and Tony, Dr. Gunn. Probably about 8 or 9 of us in that department. I mean, there's you know, the cooks and the guards and the,
Was there a name for your particular, was it just the health
public
department?
Health service. United States Public Health Service.
That's so, were you considered city, county, federal?
Federal.
You were federal?
Federal.
Okay.
Yeah. It was all federal.
So, can I ask what your salary was?
Do you remember? I don't remember, but I do remember. I don't remember the salary. I do remember that we got $9 a day per diem, and what that was. I was sent twice to me and another gentleman, and I can't remember the guy. I can picture him. I can't remember his name. He had been there longer than I had. We flew to Bethesda. Bethesda Medical Base.
Yeah, there's a major hospital there.
There in Maryland.
Right.
And they had these, I don't know if you were ever, I don't know how old you are, but I remember in the high schools, in the schools around town here, we used to have the x-ray buses. They used to come and visit the schools, TB for TB, and they used to x-ray the students in the schools. Well, we went down there and picked up twice two 1945 GMC X-ray buses and drove them.
Oh, really?
They were Navy. They were from the naval base and drove them back to El Paso. And then we drove them down to McAllen And at one time, they had all the braceros. For whatever reason, you might look into that, they had to go back into Mexico and come back, just step into Mexico. Mm-hmm. Because I guess their time was up. You know, they had a certain permit to come here and work. And again, I don't remember that, but so we sent them, they took them all back. And then we had to go through the process again. So we took portable x-ray machines down to McAllen and x-rayed them there as they were just coming across a bridge. We didn't have a facility there for it. And I remember that we were getting $9 a day per diem. And we really made out on the trip coming back from Bethesda. We would stay at truck stops. So it was free,
so
50 cents for your bunk, you know, those in the showers. Mm-hmm. So we made out pretty good, you know, at that time. And my wife got to keep the salary, was all hers. But I don't remember. I'm guessing it was around somewhere around $100 a week. Maybe not that much.
But it sounds like you had long work shifts.
And there was no, we weren't working by the hour. You know, it was, I mean, you worked whatever. It was just a job you had. And it was very, very, very interesting to, you know, and I got to talk, of course, I got to talk to a lot of them because I was the one that had to do them.
And you're the one that knew the Spanish.
The Spanish. As poor as it was at that time, I mean, at least I could communicate with
Other them. Than TB, tuberculosis, did you remember, and the
any kind of, if you saw anything, I guess the doctors would see any, you know, guys, I remember there was a couple of guys, albinos. I remember some albinos coming up, and they had glasses, you know, about, and they were sent back.
The bad eyesight.
Bad eyesight. And any kind of skin, if they, you know, when, of course, we had them stripped down to their waist, so you could, you know, the doctors could see, because they'd pass by the doctors and just come to us. And could see any.
Because I've heard that sometimes they would, I guess you wouldn't be involved if they had a venereal disease of some kind.
No, we wouldn't. The medical doctors would be checking on that. We just did strictly the x-rays.
The x-ray. Yeah. So you were like the x-ray technician.
Right.
And then
we were the x-ray technicians. And then like I say, they sent us down there to, and we did it twice. We went down and got two more x-ray machines, two more buses. And, brought him back, and then I think we went McAllen. Where was that? Brownsville. We went to Brownsville.
Oh, okay. So you weren't always here in at the.
No, we were. We were down. We spent about 2 weeks on those two deals down there, just getting them out. And we had the people. They send us down there because we drove the buses. I guess we had the license or whatever it was back in those days, and they kept the other guys here because they did the same thing here. Of course, they had the facility here to X-ray, so they didn't need the buses here. But down there, they didn't have the facilities. Uh-huh. And I don't remember, I couldn't tell you if at that time we processed all of them here and then they went down to McAllen, went down to Brownsville, went to wherever, California, went to wherever, you know, they went to pick the crops. I don't remember that.
My understanding is that there was another place in California that would, where the braceros from, say, the other side of the Sierra would be. And then that there was I think in Monterrey, there was a processing there. So maybe there was another one. I believe there were three.
Three of them.
Yeah, I think there were three is what I've been from people I've talked to already. Yeah. But I was just wondering if when you talk to the braceros themselves, you mentioned Yucatan. I would assume a lot of them would come from Chihuahua. What other, do you remember other states, other areas?
No, I think, I remember that just stood out to us because they were all, you know, when they got off those buses, they were all dressed identical.
Very different.
You know? Yeah, very different, very short, very dark. Well, Indios, you know, I mean, they were the true Indians, I guess.
A different kind of person from
what. And their Spanish was, I mean, you know, could hardly understand.
Different,
completely different. More of a dialect, I guess.
At that time. I'm sure most of them would. Did you ever ask them why they had come? They would say,
"Oh, yeah,
they
were coming for you know to
any other reason they would ever."
I think it was just, and I don't. You know, at that time, and there's probably. records of it, but I imagine most of them came, worked, and went back, you know, didn't come and sneak on, you know, and they take the money back to their families because that's how they, you know, that's how they survive, just that, because they make, according, you know, I mean, they didn't make good money, I'm sure, but I mean, good money compared to what they would have done down there.
Right.
And then I remember my brother-in-law, Irene's brother, had a farm down in, down by Fabens, Rancho Verde, and they had the braceros there, and they had the houses for them, and they had a, they'd have a little store. Most of the farmers that had good sized farms, and you know, they'd have a little store and sell hats and Levi's and food.
Do you remember
and stuff
his name?
My brother, yeah, Manny Villalobos.
Villalobos, yeah. Okay.
But they still have the ranch, and their houses are the old stuff is still there. Of course, it's not used anymore. They don't use them anymore.
I was wondering about, so did you have any regular hours, like your typical day?
Well, we had our regular, I think we worked from 7 to 3:30 was our, you know, was the...
You lived here in El Paso?
Lived in El Paso, yeah.
Okay, and then you would drive out there?
Drive out there.
To the Rio Vista?
Yeah, and yeah, that was our shift at the bridge. The bridge, we worked a regular shift. But once they sent us out there, you know, we just worked till whenever we were through with that group that had come in. And sometimes we'd be working at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We'd get a shift of 1,000 of them come in. Well, you knew that. Tell your wife, forget supper.
And they would come in buses, right? Uh-huh. And then they wouldn't be. Did you all, after, let's say, your lunch, but would you bring lunch with you,
yeah,
or did you eat?
Yeah, we'd bring our lunches.
There was never an opportunity to eat in the same, because I know there was a place there where the
buses ate. Well, I don't ever remember. We just, all of us brought our lunches. And even the doctors. I remember the doctors bringing their lunches.
Really?
Why, I don't know. And I don't remember what we fed them or what they were fed, because we never, I guess we just, as you say, lived in our own little world right here, because even though we were so busy, there was very, you know, whenever we were there, we were working because we had braceros there.
I see. So when they would come in, you would be at your little, by your machine, or let's say by your station, right? Uh-huh. And then they would
bring them on in and shoot them through. And then, in fact, I think we would x-ray them, check them, and then they went and showered. Because I remember that now, that you had your hands were just completely dirty, 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 you know. And smell, man, when those poor guys got off those boxcars,
buses,
and you know, those cattle cars, poor guys, man. I mean, it was...
I know I talked to a woman who was, she was a clerk typist, which I believe would have been across the compound from where you all were. And she said she almost fainted once, mm-hmm, from one of the first times she was there, and mm-hmm, they would line up in front of her, and she said it was
horrible.
She said it wasn't necessarily their fault.
No, it wasn't.
They hadn't had a chance to.
And they were jammed. You know, we went down to, literally, we would open those boxcars and let them come out. God, I mean, they were, you know, how they survived coming up, you know. And I, you know, a lot of people used to criticize us over here, how we treated the braceros, you know, they're in here. And like I used to tell them, boy, you ought to look at, you know, the way they treat them, bringing them over here. You know, that's, well, you ought to get the pictures taken over there.
That's what I was wondering. Did any you know, anybody here or talk to the consulate or somebody in Mexico to tell them, you know, look at these people, how they're being?
I imagine they did, but, you know, we were so far down the food chain that we, you know, our opinions didn't count for anything, you know.
Yeah, but
it was. They were treated, I mean, great here. They really were. I never saw an abuse. I'm sure that in the farms and stuff, you know, God only knows what happened there. But I know that we went down to Manny's many years after that, when the bursar program was still, I was out of it and I was going to college. And the guy, you know, they had their little stores there, and they had, you know, they were treated real well. I mean, as well as, and they had their, you know, their little houses. And some would even have their families come up. You know, I guess some of the ones that were closer here, Chihuahua, I remember Manny's, some of his braceros would have...
Would it be difficult for them to...
I don't remember. I just remember wives being there, you know, and kids, little kids running around.
I was just wondering what the process would have been. Would the...
They probably came across illegally.
Oh, okay.
The wives, you know, as I said, probably somebody that was close to here in the Chihuahua, you know, area. They would
be able to do that.
And then I remember he had a foreman, and the foreman had a little bit nicer house, and he had his wife and kids here. So I guess I did it every once in a while.
You remember? Because I've been told also that they would be given a cot, maybe, you know, blankets, maybe even a small stove. Do you remember seeing? Uh-huh.
Yeah, they were all given. Oh, you mean at where they were working?
At the farm itself.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, they had like barracks. You know, just it was. Manny's were adobe, and you'll still see some as you drive around this area here in the farms. Some of the bigger farms, you'll still see the old, you know, where you can just see doors in a window, right. And they'd put three or four or five guys in a room, a little stove and cots or little beds, you know. And that's what I say. They had a little grocery store there, and the guys would go in and buy their groceries. And, you know, I mean, beans, rice, and tortillas. You know, I'm sure was a.
I spoke to a lady the other day who worked she was like a payroll clerk at a ranch, mm-hmm. a farm down there. Mm-hmm. She corrected me. I kept saying ranch. It's a farm down there. And they called it a commissary, is mm-hmm. what she said. Right. They had a commissary for them. So back at the Rio Vista, though, how long did you do this? You remember the x-ray? I think maybe you mentioned a couple of years.
A couple of years. I think it was two seasons. Two of the seasons.
A season would be from...
When would they start coming in? It was already... I'm going to say... it was summertime because it was hot. So probably for our area here, cotton, you start picking the cotton, I guess, and some of the crops here in, I would imagine, June, July.
Right.
Something. Because yeah. I remember when we went to get the buses, driving them back, they had been sitting there at Bethesda by the ocean, and they were all the dashboard was rusted out. The floorboard.
The floorboard.
And you had holes in it, and I remember, and it was cab over engine, those snub nose.
Oh, yeah.
And man alive, I mean, that heat just coming in, and the air conditioning,
and
of course.
With the humidity, I mean.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough.
How long would it take you to drive back?
Oh, it took us about 4 or 5 days. And I remember the guy, now I remember the guy that was with me. He was... He was sort of like our foreman. Prieto. I mean, he was dark, almost looked black. And we had to come through, we came down Highway 1, down through Georgia. And in fact, I remember when we came into Macon, Georgia, and I'd heard all the, you know, this was 1955. So this is before.
Sort of at the beginning.
At the beginning of the Civil Rights Movement. And in fact, We were in 56. We were in D.C. when Eisenhower had the proclamation of what was it?
You mean the troops at?
No. Before that, this is before when he proclaimed.
Can I get you some juice?
No, thank you. I'm okay.
When he proclaimed.
Let's see.
Segregation, when the schools were to be desegregated.
Oh, okay.
So we were coming back, and of course I'm Weddle Lowenberg.
Yeah,
this guy was dark. We got stopped about 4 or 5 times. He was leading me all the time. They'd stop, pull him over, and then I'd pull up behind us and went, well, this guy doesn't have it. You know, and they took us into court a couple of times and left me alone, didn't touch me. But he had a rough time. You know, right. And then we'd go into some of those, truck stops.
What kind of questions would they ask him?
Just because of his color.
And when they took you to court, they
fined him one time for speeding. You know, the government paid for it, but I mean,
still.
But it was a little scary. It was scary, you know, because all this stuff was going on.
I bet it was especially for you because you probably were.
Yeah. You know, and we weren't in El Paso. We didn't have that. You know, we had very few blacks in El Paso. It was never an issue with us. I mean, you know, I went to school with kids that were. Hi, Mary Lou. Hi, Grace. We went to school with. You know, we just.
What did I do? Cummings.
They're over there. They're over there.
Where are you, darling?
It's my wife's sisters.
Oh, okay.
So it was a little hairy back in those days, but we survived it. Mm. I remember the first time we went, we flew from here, and then they had the prop planes. You know, they didn't have the jets. On the,
oh, yes.
So we flew. Well, the first time we flew, the second time we took a train. Why they put us on a train? I guess it was cheaper. First time we flew, we were getting ready to fly, get taken off, and I saw the engine sputter, and the guy came back, landed because he had a problem with the engine. And I said, we'll be here for a while, and we're going to get this engine repaired. And I told him, I want off of this plane. We argued a little bit, but they finally convinced me to stay on.
Flying out of here?
Flying out of here, yeah. We flew out of here once, and then we took a train.
Out of here.
Yeah, took a train all the way there. Now that took us almost a week to get there.
By train? Uh-huh. Wow. Longer than it would to
yeah,
drive
to drive
back
almost. Because we went roundabout way, I'm sure it sure. wasn't.
Do you remember some of the other people that, did you ever talk to some of the, like the people at the clerk typists or the guards?
I remember the guards, you know, talking to them, and I remember they used to have at night, you'd have the prostitutes come out, and they'd be around the
We're talking the Rio Vista? Mm-hmm. Really? Mm-hmm. Now, that I never heard before.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because my understanding was there was chain-link fence
it
around.
Was, yes, yes. But the guys would, every once in a while,
they'd find a way.
Oh,
where were these women from?
I guess from the area, or from Juarez, or from, I don't know. We never.
Hmm. See, now the understanding, too, was that supposedly these men had no money or very little money when they were there at the Rio Vista. Well,
but, you know, back then, it was...
That's very interesting. I hadn't heard about that.
Oh, yeah.
That aspect. See, I thought, well, certainly you've got... See, what we've been told also is that these men probably, they would be processed and they'd be sent out to the particular farm where they would be wanted maybe in a day or two.
Yeah, it was very fast. And then you talk to somebody that was after me, because I don't remember if after their contract was over, they were sent back to there and then bussed to the border. I'm pretty sure that's the way it was done, but you might talk to somebody that because it would only seem logical that farmer would take his 20, 30, 40, whatever he had back to Rio Vista and him not taking, because it had to be supervised to get him back to the border.
When they would probably have to account for every man that they had taken.
Right.
Now, every man.
So I remember that because some of the guys would stay there longer waiting for, I guess, other groups to come in before they ship them out.
Yeah. Do you remember more or less what percentage of the, I'm thinking, still thinking about the x-rays and the TB, and what percentage of the braceros were rejected, I guess
I'd
you could
say? Probably 1-3%, not that many. We just had so many, and when we did, it did seem like a lot because we'd get 10, 12, 15 a day. But when you were, the amount of people were coming through there was so great that we didn't reject too many of them. And mainly it's because the majority of them were younger. We did have a lot of old, sometimes you get some old guys in there, that.
Were they really old or old-looking?
Yeah. Well, we couldn't, who knows? Yeah.
Right.
But I mean,
because that's
something
else I've heard is that some of them just looked old because
maybe the hard life. Yeah. So it'll be hard to tell because they had no birth certificates with them or anything like that I remember. Right. I don't think. Well, I know they did.
See, that was another question I was going to ask you. When they came up to you, did they have any kind of a form or any?
Not that I remember at all.
There was no way for you to know, like a name or an identification or nothing?
We had numbers.
Just a number.
That x-ray had a number on it, and he had a number for whatever, that number. He was given a number, and that's how I would go get him. When I'd go out to the compound to, once we, a number, whatever.
769 or whatever.
He'd come in, and then the doctor would, through me, would tell him, Or I like that one. I remember we brought the guy in with a knife just because it was so unusual. Was such an unusual. Didn't want to know. He didn't remember a thing. Or he said he didn't, but he didn't. And then guys with bullets, you know, a lot of bullets. A lot of bullets.
I'm just curious if it was just by number, there was never a chance to get them mixed up that you would have?
Unless they were given at the bridge, I know they didn't bring birth certificates, you know, because they would lose those. Right. I mean, that would not even be. They might have been given a card at the bridge, you know.
Right. See, my understanding.
With their name maybe on it and where they were from.
There was the processing center in Chihuahua, they would talk to them, and then they would be given some kind of a form.
Form, okay.
But then there was also more fingerprinting and forms done there at the Rio Vista. But I assume that would be after you all saw them.
So I didn't, I didn't. It's just, the clerks would have taken, you know, taken care of that.
It's just interesting that you, it sounds like, there might have been, you know.
Yeah, because the only way we could, because the only way we could tell, we had the X-ray, and you know we had that flip deal, and it was a number. You know, we couldn't. I mean, when we're X-raying them, you're just. I think we put the number on. I don't remember how we did that, but
it was just a way.
But you know, we could not have gone through that many people getting their names on there and
sure.
where they were born and how old.
As fast as you were expected to do it very quickly. Yeah, I was. Yeah. Did any of them ever say, you know, can you do another one?
They would. You know, they'd beg you, and we would. We'd go back and, you know, because there was a possibility, like you say, of it being mixed up, being a different guy. I mean, it could have happened. Oh yeah, and the doctors were always real good about that. They would always tell us, go ahead and take another X-ray of them and bring it to them. You know? Because these guys were, you know, I mean, they're fighting for their lives.
Sure. You know, which is kind of desperate.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, everybody that worked there, I can remember everybody. Even, you know, Dr. Gunn was a real, I just remember that man so well because he was such a, you'd think he's a Navy guy and he was Anglo, you know, you'd sort of think he was, you know, wouldn't give a damn, but he was a very, very compassionate person.
Very considerate.
Very, very, yeah.
Now, I remember you mentioned there were maybe eight or other people there. Does that include the doctors? Do you remember any other names?
The only doctor, I just remember one doctor. Isn't it funny that I remember we had another doctor downtown. There was a doctor there, because anytime the same thing we would do down here at the bridge, we would X-ray. You were coming across.
Right.
We would X-ray you. And then send you back. Then tomorrow we didn't because we had to process the X-rays. So we would send you back. Now there you did come with, they had birth certificates, they had, because they were getting either a green card or you know whatever there. And so there we were. I mean there then they would come back the next day, and. And we would let them know yes or no and fill out our forms, and then they continued to go whatever route they went through there. I don't remember. But we had the permanent machines down there. You know, we had permanent machines there.
And we saw the hut the other day. It was like one of those Quonset huts. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Wasn't that very warm?
Very hot.
That's what we were thinking.
Very hot. And we didn't have air conditioning.
I don't know about an X-ray machine, but you would think that would also build up a certain amount of heat.
It does. Oh, tremendous amount of heat. And then what happened is after the program, you know, after we got them all back, then we had a guy that was an X-ray technician, a true X-ray. We were called X-ray technician, but all we did was take that little picture. We didn't know what. But he was an X-ray technician, and they put me to work for him. With him, and we went all over repairing the X-ray machines, getting them ready for, you know, for the coming year, go down the bridge, anything. So we would go repair them, and I remember going down to Brownsville and McAllen at the bridges there, and then here we would repair the ones at the bridge in Rio Vista. We had the big tubes and big X-ray. It's not like we have today. You know, it was a.
So I'm curious then also, you mentioned that you were called an X-ray technician, but you really, so what kind of experience did you have?
None whatsoever. They just taught us what to do. It was a very simple, we only did one thing. We only X-rayed them for TB. We didn't do any other kind of X-ray. So it was a very simple, pon las manos en el lado, we had a saying in it. I mean, we con la cabeza. God, it'll come to me, and it was like, I mean, we repeated it.
For everyone.
For everyone, you know. And then you did. You just had them go like this and then push their shoulders, you know, up against the
against the machine.
And then you'd go behind a little curtain.
Right.
And click the machine. Take them.
So you mentioned that you had no, but when they would show you, I presume then they showed you, this is what an X-ray with TB looks like, mm-hmm. or whatever.
Mm-hmm. The doctor would tell you, if you see any, here's the lungs, you know, you see anything, any spots in there. Of anything, that's unusual. And, you know, I guess what he did before, he showed us a healthy lung. You know, this is what right. you should look. Anything that looks a little bit, so that's what we do. We just start flipping and pulling, you know, pulling them out. Then we'd have to come back and find back where we had numbers. You know, put them back right. in the.
I'm sorry. It's just it seems kind of, well, not unusual, but. To put you in a, seems like a lot of responsibility mm-hmm. In a position to where...
Well, we had no training. Yeah. As I say, the only training we had, they showed us how to use the X-ray machine, which was very simple to do. And then they showed us what a lung that was had some kind of defective, right. you know. Was a,
what it looked like.
What it looked like. But you're right. You're, after, you know, when you, there you didn't think about, thank God I had a job. You know, that's all I... But it was... You're right, you know, I mean, how many that we missed, you know, that had something. I mean, we were going through them, you know, we'd flip them so fast. Right. And after a while, you thought you were pretty good, you know, the longer you were there, the more you thought
sure.
you knew.
More
so,
confident
you, that. So you know, how many we missed?
Do you know, was there any, what was the treatment for tuberculosis at the time?
Send them back home. I don't know. You know, we didn't miss. I mean, we were sent back immediately.
See, my mother talks about how she was raised in the Lower Valley, and that a couple of her sisters developed. They told them they had, like, and that the owner of the farm where they were brought in a lot of cod liver oil. I think she said it was aceite de bacalao, which I think is cod liver. Oil. And she said they just gave him, you know, teaspoon or tablespoon after tablespoonful, and then sometime later they took them back, x-rayed them, and it was gone. So I was wondering if you'd ever heard of something.
No, but
like
you know, El Paso was an area where people came
right
with TB. You know, if I'm not mistaken, a hospital, what's the name of it?
Yes, the one that closed recently.
Yeah, that was a
yes,
a
I TB. Had an operation there. I can't think of the name either.
Up on the hill.
Yeah, I want to say it starts with an S, but...
Southwestern.
Southwestern. Uh-huh. Yeah, uh-huh. General, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know there were several...
hospitals here that were dedicated strictly to TB.
Because of the dry heat, yes.
Yeah, back in the, right. in the 20s and stuff like that.
That's what got me to wondering about. But I guess basically there were so many of these men that there was many to take their place, and you just...
Yeah, then there was no... We weren't... We didn't have the capabilities there to treat them for anything. You know,
sure.
The thing you had to do is send them back and tell them to go see a doctor, which, you know, the chances of them doing that were
not much because these were poor people.
Yeah, yeah. You know, they lived out on farms and ranches. But God, they were hardworking people. Man, no lie. I remember going to Manny's. Well, I tell you, you know, we got rid of the program. And then I started coaching up at Canutil. And my brother-in-law Manny had a tomato crop, and he had a contract with a cannery up here with
Mountain Pass.
And didn't have anybody, you know. He went downtown and looking for people to pick. You know, there wasn't. Guys lined up down to an unemployment deal, but you tell them to go pick.
Tomatoes.
So I took my football team. We picked his crop of tomatoes.
Did they really?
Uh-huh.
Good for them.
Yeah.
I've done that myself.
We picked the tomato. My kids got sicker than a dog because as they were picking, they were eating those hot tomatoes, They were so good, you know, and boy, they aren't going to be.
Plus you get the green stuff all over you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've done that.
You know, and I understand, am I correct that there's a bill or they're looking for passing another bill to let them to start that program over again?
I'm not sure. I haven't heard of that myself.
I heard something the other day. You know,
Maybe you've heard of, this is going on in Mexico, they're having meetings of ex-braceros.
Wanting to...
About some kind of money.
Money that's owed to them.
Yeah. Yes, do you know anything
no,
about...
No, I don't. I read that also, but I don't... I don't remember if it was... If they're claiming that the farmers kept some of it or that the government... I don't know. I don't know the whole deal on that.
My understanding is that it's partly... That it was supposedly deducted, sort of like a Social Security, and that some of it the Mexican government kept or something like that. And that's what they're... Yeah, but I spoke to a lady the other day. She was the one who was the payroll clerk. She said they never took... Everything that they earned,
they kept.
She would pay, except she would deduct whatever money they had spent at their commissary. She said, and they never took out anything. And she said, and it was always to the penny, and there was never... At least as far as she knew, they were never shortchanged or anything else. So
it might have been again a tax that the Mexican when they were going back in had to pay.
It could be because right.
That's probably
they always
they always get their cut somewhere.
Find ways of doing that.
Yeah.
So you mentioned once the I know you said there was that was a couple or three seasons where you did that. And then you left the public health service, is that right?
Then I went to the university. Took out to Texas College of Texas Western. Texas Western. Yeah.
And
then I got my degree
in what field?
In physical education.
Oh, okay.
In history. And got my first job at Kennedy Teal High School in '60 as head football coach. And it was not ironic, but there I worked. Almost the majority of the kids that I had up there all were farm kids.
Sure.
You know, they were all because that's all that there was up there was farm. So I had to, I understood it pretty good. That's why I got along so well, I guess, because a kid would come say, you know, coach, I got to drive the tractor today. We got to plow here or we got to do this or that, you know.
So you understood what was going on.
I understood what was going on. You know, so.
How did your teams do?
We were some of the best in the county.
Really?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, we had some great teams, and I lasted 12 years up there. And we played Fabian. Fabian was in our district, and Clint, and
so you had to do a lot of driving.
You know, Del City was our farthest.
Oh, okay.
We had to go to Del City, but I've always been around that farming part of it, you know. And she was raised at Sunnelli. My wife was raised at Sunnelli.
Oh, okay.
And she left there when she was 15. So,
have you ever been back to the Rio Vista?
No, I never have. I don't even think I could find it.
Oh, well.
Where is it?
It's not very difficult now with the freeway there.
That's probably what would throw me, you know, because we used to go down the
North Loop.
Highway, you know, the
Alameda or North Loop.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't recognize it anymore because there's just so many things
around it now. Yeah. Before it was out there by itself. I mean, it was completely
now there
isolated.
Did you ever? I'm curious. The buildings that were there. Did you ever ask? You know, were these here before, or were they constructed just for the?
I think it was something else before that, wasn't it? If I'm not mistaken. Was it that where they held the German prisoners?
In World War II, that's what I understand. It was a German and Italian prisoner of war camp.
Yeah.
And also what I understand is before that, it was like the county poor home, orphanage for poor kids or something like that. Because my mother, she was raised a few miles away from there, and she was telling me that they called it, I think, El Rancho de los Huérfanos or something like that. But then across... There's another older building, another large building. Now it's across the street from the Rio Vista, which I also understand is a county poor home, but you don't remember.
I don't know.
Did you ever have any? I understand there was a building there where there was like a Mexican consul or a vice consul. Do you all ever have any dealings with?
There in the compound?
Mexican, yes, no. At the Rio Vista.
No, I never had any dealings with, you know, we wouldn't have. I don't remember that at all. That I don't remember. I'm sure there must have been something there for them to get help or.
Right.
Well, you know, now that you get my memory starts. Now that you mention that, I think that is where we took the men that we were rejecting.
Oh.
And then I think they made arrangements to send them back because, that would be the only way. Something. And I don't remember if it was a Mexican consul, but I do remember we took them to a place where then they, you know, after we got that whole group, then they would take that.
Some kind of a Mexican official?
Mexican official get them out because to take them back.
I see. My understanding,
we couldn't have sent them back on their own. You know, they would have disappeared.
Because my understanding was that there was an official there and he would talk to them and tell them that he was there, take any complaints or any problems or whatever. And I was just wondering if you had ever had any.
I just remember, now that you, I remember something about that, but I don't remember any outbreaks or any complaints. I mean, I think different time, different, you know, they're just happy to go to work.
Sure. I would assume so, yeah. Gosh, I can't think of anything else. So, you look back on your experience as a public health officer, positive, negative?
All positive. I had a lot of fun. I had enjoyed my work. Got to travel I was 19 years old, 20 years old, you know, never been out of El Paso. The only time I'd gone to the state basketball meet in San Antonio when I was at Cathedral, but other than, you know, Washington, D.C., man, I was 19 years old. I was walking around with my head looking like that, and down in the valley, met some, and you know, we went to Columbus the other day, Palomas, over to Palomas to get some medication and eat over there. And we were coming back, and I was telling, you know, remembering that if I would have stayed, you know, I would have retired 30 years ago, I would have become a customer. I remember when they went, see, we didn't wear uniforms. Now, we didn't, but the guys that were on the bridge wore the white shirts and blue pants, and they were the United States Public Health Service. And they did what the customs guys do now. So they were on the bridge, and then they became, I'm pretty sure that's what evolved into United States Customs.
I see.
Or they combined them, you know, whatever it was.
Right. Is that one of the reasons why you left?
Because no, I wanted to go to school. I wanted to be a coach. I had that in my, and I coached at a grade school at St. Patrick's, and I wanted to be a coach. And the only way I could be a coach, I had to get a degree.
Do you remember? I understand. This reminded me of something else as well. That federal employees have ranks, pay GS something. Uh-huh. Do you remember what you?
Yeah,
were?
I was a. We were at the bottom of the pole. I guess it were GS 3s, GS 4, or something like that.
I see. Yeah. They start at 1, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think we were up. I think we were probably at a 2 or 3, maybe, because
I see.
We've been. Yeah, but. None of the guys up, you know, the guys up there, when you went, you were always wishing, God, GS 11. I think GS 11 was before you became GS 12 or whatever was. You're really, you know, you were up at the head of the, but GS 11s were guys that had been there, you know. It was a good job. It was. It was tiring on the, you know, those guys. I mean, even down there, and then sometimes it could be real boring for us at the bridge because, you know, you'd have times in there where nobody coming in to apply for a, so you just sat around, you know. But I remember another thing. God, we used to see that. Now you probably heard the stories of it. You know all the liquor that they confiscate from people when they're coming across. If they confiscate any liquor that's confiscated,
the ones that don't pay a tax,
or they're bringing too much.
Too much, yes.
Do you know what happens to it?
No, I don't. Huh? I have no idea. You know,
they take it out in the back. There was a place back there in the back, and they just break all the bottles out there.
Steal
them and break them. Of course, after probably some of the big shots got their cut
of the best stuff.
Of the best. But they used to break the bottles back there in the back.
Such a waste.
What's the waste, huh? You know, you seem like they.
But I guess how else can you ensure that, you know, there isn't some kind of corruption?
One of my carpenters, Joe, he goes to Horace a lot. and he had a pair of turtle boots. I mean, beat up. Just, I mean, he was coming across a bridge. He didn't know anything about it. They took him away from him. He came across barefoot. Turtle, you can't.
Turtles are.
You have to prove that you got him from a turtle ranch, you know, for turtle farming. So they took
even
off
if his, they were all beat
they
up.
Were, I mean, they were. You wouldn't.
How would somebody have noticed?
You know, they just noticed that some guy was, you know, really, really doing his job, you know.
Well, I guess you could say that, but probably so. I mean, you'd think they were so old and beat up.
Yeah, I mean, they were old and beat up. You wouldn't. I wouldn't have warned them, you know. Old Joe.
There is something else I thought of. You said you used to drive down there? Mm-hmm. Down, was it Alameda? What was the city like at the time?
Well, we probably had, and I'm thinking back, probably it was, well, Alameda was the main thoroughfare.
Right.
You know. I used to come down, I'm trying to think ahead. I would make that. We used to live on Arizona Street. Yeah. We had Montana. I don't think Paisano was built yet, or it was just being built.
It was like mid-50s, I think.
Yeah,
to late 50s.
Just, yeah. So it might have been in the process. So we'd probably go down Texas. I'd go down. Well, I know how I went. I went over Cotton Street. To Texas Street,
to Alameda.
To Alameda.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where we go. Or North Loop. Yeah, I don't know.
One or the other.
But that's all it was there.
Now, presumably, Alameda means sort of like tree-lined. Was it really?
Oh, yeah. I remember going down there to visit Irene when she was in San Eli. And I had a Model A. It took me almost all day to get there. You know. But Alameda was just the cottonwood trees. Uh-huh. Then you took the road, Socorro and Sonelli Road, you know, going all to... Right. That was just, it was like this.
Really, a canopy?
And then this street right here, the same thing. Back in the old days, in Country Club...
That would be Donovan, right?
Emery.
Oh, Emery.
Emery was just, it was straight. I mean, it was like this. It was just like you're going through a tunnel. Country Club, the big old cottonwoods that were there.
Same thing.
But going down there in Alameda, you're right.
Kind of like going through Stallman's Nursery sometimes. Uh-huh. So the pecan groves up there.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I wondered because people say that that's the way it used to be. Now, do you remember seeing fruit orchards down there? Grape? Mm-mm. No? It must have been too late by that time then. How long would it take you to drive down there?
Oh, yeah, I used to leave at 6 in the morning. We'd always get down early, and probably half an hour, 45 minutes.
Half hour, yeah.
Yeah, 45 minutes. By then I had a 39 Chevy that was a hot rod, so I was a little faster.
Uh-huh. Well... Just a couple other questions I've been asking people. Since you were born and raised here, I assume you've been here all your life. Mm-hmm. How has the weather changed? Is it warmer now than?
I think we've got a little more humidity than we had in the past. I don't remember humidity in the past. And now, you know, we get 10, 12 days of very uncomfortable weather here.
For us.
You go to Chicago and you go to San Antonio and Austin.
And
Dallas, you know, you can forget it. But I think it's got more humid. Rain has been the same. I don't know, we're getting probably less rain than we did back then.
What about cold days? Is it cold? Does it, do you remember?
No, I think we were colder back then. I remember a lot of snows when I was a kid. A lot of snow. Or maybe I just thought it was a lot of snow when I was a kid, but I remember playing in the snow a lot when I was a little boy. And now, you know, we're lucky. I'm not lucky. I mean, we get a dusting
every other year, maybe. Right,
you know.
Right.
But El Paso just, crazy. You know, I guess we had 100,000 people back then, maybe.
This would be the mid-50s, you can remember. And now, of course.
Look at us there. You know. And you'd go out, you know, of course, you'd go out past... past Loretto Academy, And there was nothing. I mean, there was absolutely...
Just Fort Bliss. And
that's it. There was nothing. And up here the west side, the only thing on the west side at that time was the country club in this area right here. You know, there was nothing.
Up above the river, no, basically up above the river plain. Yeah, there was no...
Up all that Coronado area, that's all. You know, that's all.
New
it was all desert. Complete desert.
Well, anything else you'd like to...
Anything else you need to, you know, I hope I helped you a little bit.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah. I always like to ask if there's anything else that you wanted to, anything you can remember.
I don't think.
Do you think this is a good idea to get people's recollections about
them? Sure. You know, El Paso has made a big mistake, I think, in its history. We have not preserved a lot of the things that we should have preserved. You know, the old courthouse that I reworked at, that old courthouse was in the corner. You know, what would it cost to have made that a museum? Why don't we tear it down to put a little park with a little guy with a boot in his hand, you know? And we would comment that. And my comadre, if she lives, she moved to Rhode Island. And now she's coming back. They were in the service, and now she's back every 6 months. She stays here 6 months and goes back during the summer over there because it's so cold. And we were driving around town trying to, just thinking, you know, where did all these things go? They just tore down, and we don't, you know, we haven't preserved. We make parking lots. We make...
Yeah.
You know, downtown, we wonder
why... Fast food restaurants.
Yeah, why downtown is not revitalized, but look what we've done to it. You know, we've...
There isn't much there.
There isn't much there, and no. It's sad because it was such a vibrant downtown at one time, you know. I remember the Plaza Theater was here, the LNA Theater was here, the Wigwam Theater was here, the Alcazar was down here, the Colon was over here. I mean, all those were right downtown. You go to... Pick a movies, and the what was the name of it? Some grand Crawford Theater had, I remember the Crawford Theater had three stories, three balconies, mm-hmm. And the blacks were up on top. That's where the blacks were.
It's the only place they could, yeah. So is that what you all did for, basically for entertainment in those days?
We went downtown and around the plaza, downtown the Alligator Plaza.
Is that where their restaurants were and...
Yeah, they used to Warner's. Well, they weren't restaurants, really. We were the drug stores.
Right.
You know, when we were kids, we were calling the drug, Warner's Drug. And we'd go in the soda fountain, and they had the hamburgers, you know, and you'd sit there in the little... But there wasn't many restaurants, you know. Or if there was, we didn't have any money to go to them, so we didn't know where they were.
And they still had the alligators.
The real ones.
What do you think of the idea of bringing them back?
I think it'd be great if people would...
Leave them alone.
Leave them alone. That's what happens. See, you know, you got a bunch of drunks down there, and they were abusing them. Yes. I think that was part of our. That's part of our heritage. You know,
part of the problem. Yeah.
You know, it's like when they changed the Sun Carnival parade to Thanksgiving. You know, that was what you did New Year's Day. You know?
Yes. Yeah. I remember.
It was our kind of family. We'd go to this. In fact, this lady, this comadre of ours, she lived at 2019 Montana. I still remember. Well, that's where we'd go to watch the parade. We were right on the, you know.
Yeah. Why did they change? Do you remember?
I guess because of all of the. I'm assuming that it was because all of the. Got so many bowl games, you know, during.
Oh yeah.
And people, you know.
Preferred to stay home and watch the. Yeah. And the other parades and things.
Yeah.
Yeah. That does seem like...
But, you know, back before that, the only bowl game played on that that I remember was in the 50s was the Rose Bowl and the Cotton Bowl.
The Cotton Bowl, yeah.
And they weren't... And we had the Sun Bowl was played on New Year right after the parade. You went to the game.
Plus the fact there wasn't that much TV at the time. You didn't have competition from others.
We didn't have any TV here. Yeah. You know, we didn't have any until it was just starting. I mean, we did have it, but we were just... I remember my mother bought the first... She says she did. I don't know. White's. She bought from White's Auto Sales. Bought the first TV set. And we would sit there. We were already married. So this was 52, 53. She'd gone to New York to see her sister. Of course, they had TV over there. You know, TV mm-hmm. was there.
Right.
She came back talking about this, and we all thought she was sort of goofy. You know, you've been drinking too much, Mom. So she bought a TV, and when they were coming out here, and all we saw were the patterns.
Right.
We'd sit there and watch these patterns. And then finally they had Six Gun Playhouse. Was the first TV show that they showed. It was just Westerns, you know, over and over and over.
Remember what channel it was?
No.
Because I believe, I'm not sure, I believe KTSM was the first one.
I think you might be right. And then,
what is now Channel 4
right.
was the second one. Well, and in that case, I guess that's...
Well, thank you for...
We need to thank you.
I hope we helped you, and I hope...
Well, definitely, you did. Because I don't know that we have very many people who worked in the medical, in the public, you know, the medical side of the Bracero thing. So it was just one reason why I wanted to get your recollections.
I wonder when this doctor worked there. Do you know how long it lasted?
I believe it was the early 60s.
Okay, so it went that far. So there could have been a lot of other
people there. Okay. Well, this is the end of the interview.